got these unspoken words I'm trying to get out my head. Plug in the mic and leave nothing unsaid. Now sit back, relax, and listen to some real talk.
Now sit back, relax, and listen to some real talk.
You are now listening to Unspoken Words Podcast.
Here!
I already made it.
Unspoken Words.
Episode 178, the Being Proactive with Accumulation of Wisdom with Self-Reliance episode. Hey!
He barely made it.
I wasn't quite ready for that one, man.
Hey, you didn't take that deep breathe. You needed to take a deep breathe.
For real.
You gotta feel that diaphragm.
You gotta fill up that diaphragm before you get going. That makes me concerned. How was your day today?
Worn out?
Long, man. Yeah.
Got enough diaphragm left.
Yeah. You have enough diaphragm left.
Save some diaphragm for the show, bro.
I'm trying, man.
You gotta spread it. Oh, that's terrible. All right. This is Unspoken Words episode 178. Man, 178 weeks in a row.
Wow.
Just for you, our listeners. Yes. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be doing this. If we had like 30 downloads by now, we'd write it. We would quit long time ago. All right. Over here to my left, all the way from El Jesus, number 83 in a place to be, and he ain't even trying to preach. It's the Pod Gotti, Randy B. Say shoulda.
Mahalo.
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 And over here to my right, all the way from Babu and I know, he is your favorite Indian, your ace, your hole-in-one, JCB, your favorite Indian. Say shoulda.
Okay,
little big man. And a special guest across the way from me tonight, all the way from Jacksonville, Florida, in Billings now, doing his thing, Mr. DEI, William Breon Henry. Say what's up.
Hey, man, what's good? Thanks for having me, gentlemen. Thanks
yes,
for having
sir.
Me.
Yes, sir. It's good you to bet. Have you yep, in the yep. house. It's good to have you in the teepee.
Yeah.
Welcome to the circle.
The circle.
Circle of life. I hope.
Okay, Mufasa.
Mufasa.
The circle of life. Hey, and you know me, Mo Hugs Not Drugs, all the way from up the road in Arrow Creek. Hey! Yes, sir. Let me have some Lulus.
Some Lulus?
Yeah, let me get those Lulus. Hey, there we go. Now it's official. We're officially in 178.
178. Holy cow. That just kind of hit just now.
I know, man. I was thinking, because he asked me on the way up. He was like, what episode are you guys on? Like a million or something? And I was like, no, 178. And I was like, damn, man, 178 weeks in a row.
That's a lot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's
crazy.
That's you're either crazy or you're dedicated.
Yeah.
Lucky for us, we're both.
Yeah. We like to keep it balanced around here.
So I got some jokes for us.
Okay.
Wait, let me go back. Give credit. It's from Indian country. Pinterest, I think. Oh, Reddit. It said, need some native humor. What's your favorite Indian native joke? Some of these are terrible, but I want to read some of them that I like. Okay, so there's this one time where this native guy wasn't feeling quite well. He felt ill. Said our tribe negotiated with healthcare for the IHS, so he ran over there. They ran all these treatments, but couldn't figure out what was wrong. So the native thought better of it and went to see one of their traditional medicine women. The traditional healer asked him, what's wrong? He said, I don't know. It's strange. Sometimes I feel like a wigwam and sometimes I feel like a teepee. She replied, oh, I know what's wrong with you. He said, really? Or really? He replied in disbelief. She said, yeah, you're feeling too tense.
I
Okay. What do you call a native girl that has a leg shorter than the other one? Go ahead, say it.
Eileen.
Eileen. Not even.
No,
not even.
You got that?
Oh, not even.
Oh, that's not even. She's only coming over here. Not even. Let's see. We need some music.
We do.
Oh, okay. What do you call a native with no lips? Anybody?
I don't know.
Pointless.
Pointless. I was trying to wonder where that one, because I thought it. Yeah.
Where did you learn about ghost weed?
Ghost weed?
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of it.
From an old sage. Three natives are leaving the bar sober. Hey, it could happen. A salad bar.
Salad bar.
Okay, this is kind of a long one, but I'll read it. And we'll end with this one. These are kind of dry. I was laughing pretty hard earlier, but funny to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, there's somebody out there laughing right now.
Yeah. Just not you guys.
maybe it'll hit different the second time I hear it.
Maybe. Maybe we're just tired. No, it was snowing earlier. Now it's sunshine. We're in a weird mood.
Yeah.
It was rain, snow.
Yeah. We just didn't have any hail.
Yeah. Don't say that.
Don't say that.
Where's the wood? Okay. A hunter shot a duck and watched it fall on the reservation. He crept out to the edge, looked around, and thought, I'll just skip over and grab the duck. Just as he was about to, there was a native guy who stood up with the duck in hand. The hunter said, hi, yes, that duck there, I just shot that duck, and I'm hoping you can give it to me, please. The native guy responds, the duck fell on our land, and I'm going to use it to feed my people. The hunter pleads and begs, and finally, the native guy says, we have a custom to solve such problems. Are you willing to do it? The hunter eagerly nods, yes. So the native guy explains, we must face each other with our legs spread open. The one with the duck gets to kick the other in the nuts as hard as he can. If he can take the kick and not fall over, not cry out like a child, then he may take a turn to kick my nuts. I also must stand strong. The one who withstands the kick the most bravely gets to keep the duck. Okay? The hunter thinks, well, I really want the duck, and I think I would win since I have hiking boots on, and the native dude just has moccasins. Okay. So they face each other. The hunter spreads his legs, and the native guy gauges the distance, tests the wind, says a prayer, and kicks the hunter with all his might right in the crotch. Birds scatter, critters hide. Leaves turn, shades darker. The hunter staggers a little, almost screaming out, but somehow miraculously doesn't fall over nor cry out like a child. After a good 20 minutes, he turns to the native guy and says, okay, I survived. Now it's your turn. The native guy holds up the duck, looks at it, then tosses it over to the hunter and says, you know what? Keep the duck.
I had to hold my laughter.
Well, I know. Did you know it was coming? Right on.
Just picturing it up.
Yeah. So what's the latest with the powwow? What's going on?
Oh, yeah, we're getting ready for that. We do have a Native American Business Summit up there at the Sub in the Glacier Room on Thursday, April 4th. We're inviting all Native American Indigenous business owners to come in there and partake. There is a, if you go on to BillingsChamberOfCommerce.com, there's a link there that you can register. And then Friday, we have the grand entry at 7 p.m. We are still looking for volunteers. And Saturday, we'll wrap it up in the evening time with the, we got a grand entry at 12, and we got a grand entry at 6.
Right on, right on. So if you were like to, what's the biggest places you need help with so that people kind of have an idea of where to jump in?
Wherever people feel most comfortable. Like if they jump on, we have it's itemized on there. Like you can pick where you want to serve.
Okay.
So yeah, that, cause I think we got most of, you know, like the, yeah, we got just wherever they feel most comfortable at.
All right. Right on. Right on. What about you? Did you get all your machines fixed at your work? They all healed?
No, it's actually pretty much the same.
But, is it washing by hand?
No.
I know, they bored, John.
Well, I told him the other day, you might as well just get a clothesline, man, a really long clothesline. It's just that the things don't heat up as high as they're supposed to.
Yeah.
So it takes forever to dry.
Mm.
And so, you know, basically standing around, waiting around. But they had mercy on us today.
Mm.
They said, okay, you know what? We're not going to fight it today. We're going to let you guys go. All you got to do is this one last load, as it were.
Yeah.
And so, why are you grinning over there? they had mercy on us. So as soon as they said that, man, I finished up what we had to do, and I got out of there. And
right on.
Yeah.
What about you, Mr. Henry? How was your day going?
You know what, man? I'm on this side of the dirt, man, so I'm blessed, man.
Yeah, right on. Right on.
Yeah.
Nah, that's a good way to look at it, definitely. Got to stay thankful.
Absolutely.
That's something I've been working on.
I like that.
You know, open my eyes.
Like how Thumper said it to me, though. You woke up this morning, didn't you?
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Eyes open. You got a shot.
You got a shot.
It's like, good, yeah. This side of the ground. No, I like that. I like that. Right on. You guys feeling warmed up?
Yes, sir.
Good.
All right. I think Mr. Henry's ready to go, too.
Let's get it.
All right, so DJ, if you're ready, why don't you hit me with that beat?
Yo, let's get into our topic. Yo, let's get into our topic.
All right. We're here in Unspoken Words, episode 178. And we got Mr. William Henry in the hot seat, and we're going to get into his story. So I'm going to kick it over here to your favorite Indian. Take it away. Hey.
Well, let me start off by saying thank you. Thank you very, very much for joining us this evening.
Yeah, man. My pleasure, man.
Yeah, it's a huge pleasure for us. But, yeah, so I guess you can always start out with, tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, where you grew up, all that good stuff.
Yeah, man. So I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida. I attended high school there, and I got a chance to go to the University of Florida after that, and got my undergrad stuff there, and then got into the business world and had an opportunity to travel all over this great country. So I've lived in Scottsdale, Arizona, Reno, Nevada, Palm Springs, California. Now I'm here in Billings, Montana, making it my home.
Yeah, so those first couple were pretty warm. How do you like this Montana weather?
if I wait 5 minutes, it always turns to something I like.
There you go.
But it's the 5 minutes before that I worry about, man. But, I think we don't – there's a lot of us that just adapt to winter. We don't like it.
Yeah. Come on.
I gotta agree with that because, I mean, like, I don't know. I guess I can say I'm used to it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I love wintertime. I can't do that. So – growing up, were you exposed to addiction, or do you have any kind of stories?
I just like to tell the truth, man. So here's the deal. I grew up, and my dad did illegal activities, man, right?
Yeah,
he was on the other side of that. So, you know, I got to see things from a different light. So I ended up growing up with a single mom to keep me away from that stuff.
Mm.
But, yeah, I did get an opportunity to see it, and I'm just blessed that I didn't get off into it.
Okay.
Because it could have been easy to do.
Yeah. And so, like, what were some of the things that you were doing when you were younger that kind of...
Yeah, man. So sports and music and reading have always been my outlets, man. So I always try to encourage kids, you know, if it's not sports, if it's not music, if it's find something that allows you to use that thing between your two ears, right?
Yeah.
Find that interest in there. But, Yeah, man, I've been blessed to be able to stay away from those things. And I, you know, I got a 17-year-old daughter, so I talk to her about it all the time. It's like, it's out there. You can always get it. But what else can you get that's greater than that?
Nice. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Like, what else is out there that's greater than that? I mean.
No, I think that's amazing. That's amazing advice, because it's like it's too easy nowadays for kids to get in trouble, you know? Mm. Like, everything is so instantaneous, and we need that solid male voice in the lives of these children to kind of encourage them to go a different route. Is that kind of what led you into the work that you do today? Like,
yeah, man. Like, first of all, I should have started this way, man. I want to congratulate you all 178 times doing this, man, mm-hmm. and spitting positivity. And, man, you all are to be congratulated. I've sat on the other side of the mic, so I just want to start with that, man. So, congratulations.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
But to answer your question, you know, yeah, man, it's like, you know, we as men, we have a responsibility, whether we like it or not, to help that next generation. We can complain about it, or we can be the solution. And I just choose to try to help be part of that solution.
Man, that's amazing, man.
So, yeah, kind of backtrack to you, so you're telling, like, your daughter, like, about things, about, you know, giving that drug talk, basically, yeah. The alcohol talk. Yeah. And I've had that conversation several times with my son now. Not that, you know, that's a risk or anything, but just to let him know that, because we sit around and we talk about his goals, what he's got, his aspirations and stuff. And I say, okay, so then I use that and then use examples of, like, dudes I grew up with that started smoking weed in junior high. And started drinking in high school and stuff. And I said, they had goals. We all had goals. And I said, but they've never achieved them as far as I know, because they got into that. And then that started a snowball effect that, you know, really took them away from what they really wanted to do. And can you talk about that? Like, you were growing up and, like, did you see that type of deal?
Yeah, man, we did, man. And I think it's important to, you know, who you surround yourself with, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because if you surround yourself with eagles, you'll fly. And if you surround yourself with turkeys, you'll walk on the ground. Mm. And again, you get that choice, and you start getting that choice around 11, 12 years old, right? You start to see things. You start to notice, you know, this group versus that group. So I talk to my daughter a lot of times about, like, your choices, right? Yeah. I mean, as much as we want to control them not being in an environment with drugs and alcohol, we really can't control it. But what we can control is how they think about it in their heads, right? Like, how do you process that? Do I really want to be around that? If somebody came in and saw you doing that, what's the impact of that?
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah,
so I think a lot of times I talk to my daughter about consequences and impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I like that, definitely. And shout out to you. Your daughter got signed, right, to play or to do track in college?
Yeah, man, she was.
That's huge.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. She was blessed enough. She's a thrower, and mm-hmm. somebody saw her throw, and they said, we'll give you some money to throw it. So I'm like, let's get it. Let's get it.
Let's go.
Yeah, let's get
let's
it.
Let's go.
Let's get it.
I think that as a father, when you your kids are playing sports, that's the ultimate goal, you know, that they get that scholarship.
Yeah.
Excuse me. They get that scholarship to go on, you know, higher education and stuff.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I know that as you came here to Bellings, and then you started the basketball, definitely. Oh, I want you to talk about that. Like, where was that? Like, because I know your tournaments are, like, packed. They're always banging, you know?
Yeah, I appreciate that, man.
Ever since they started, I think I missed the first one.
Yeah, okay.
When you had
West Park Plaza?
Was it at West Park Plaza?
2012.
I missed it.
Yeah, I've been at it for a while, man.
Yeah, because. But anyway, yeah, talk about that process of starting that and building that up to what it is today.
Yeah, man, I'm just crazy enough to see a void and try to fill it, right? So
yeah.
I actually was in Bozeman. I got here, I was in Bozeman, and we're at a basketball tournament. And so mm-hmm. I was trying to ask some of my buddies, like, when does Billings do this? And they're like, well, we don't have one. I'm like, oh, we will.
Yeah.
Like, we will. I had no basketball. I had no hoops. I had nothing. And it was, I'll never forget, we were in the middle of May. And I'm like, we're going to pull this off by August. And, man, that first year, I don't know if you all remember when West Park Plaza didn't have a grocery store.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It was no store there. And I went over and talked to the guy who was running, and I was like, man, I want to put a basketball tournament there. I was like, go for it.
Nice.
And the first year, we put it together in 88 days, and we had 88 teams.
Yep.
So, you know, and we just continued to be on the map with it, man. So, So
all right, don't mind.
Yeah.
And I know now you got the the three tournaments going and stuff.
Yeah, man. So we actually do about six a year, right?
Oh, six.
Okay. Yeah, man. Oh, so wow. We do three in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
Three in the summer. But then we do, you know, we do travel ball as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah.
And all that was started, man, A, we had a gap. And B, man, I just wanted the kids to have something to look forward to, mm-hmm. right? As you are, I'm sure I'm the oldest person in the room. but we used to play outside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, like kids don't have options to go outside anymore. So it's like, I learned to play ball in the streets.
Yeah.
Street ball was it. So, you know, I just wanted to create that environment, create that atmosphere, and you know, it's been touched, man. It's been a good ride.
Yeah.
You still running now?
Last time I played was 2021, but you don't want to see me on the basketball court.
I've been trying to get him to our open gyms, man, for the past 2 years.
Man, like
it's, I was like, come out, man. We just walk up the court. man,
that's all. It'll be a slow walk. No, man, it's funny because my daughter plays basketball. She played basketball for a long time. And she's like, hey, Dad, we could play in the co-ed league. And I'm like, all right, man, go out and play, man. And we make it to the championship game. And we get beat by a team that was far superior to us. But that wasn't the part. It was recovering.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, man. Like, she, like, next day, she bounced around. I'm like, hey, listen, these knees don't recover the same way no more.
Man, especially on the blacktop, playing, like, five games in a weekend.
Ooh, yeah.
I'd be hurting. I'd still be hurting. My knees ain't.
I'm coming to play with you all on one of these Sundays. So I need to test my strength again.
Yeah, just walk up and down the court, man. That's all I do. Three-point line to three-point line.
I like it.
No, so I know another thing that you we're doing and like the anti-bullying stuff, Better World. Yeah. Then like that took you to Wolf Point. Talk about that experience. And
yeah,
stuff,
man, it was cool, that. Man. From the basketball experience, you know, I hear parents talking about their kids getting bullied or this, that, and the other. And man, what we did was we did a bunch of research about, you know, just to understand the people really understand what bullying was.
Mm.
And a lot of people really don't understand what bullying is. You know, like, we get into a fight, that's not bullying.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Yeah, but that's what people think. You know, yeah, you might have beat me up today, but we might be friends tomorrow. Especially little boys, research show that, right? We get into a fight, we friends tomorrow. And so, man, I got a chance to work with Wolf Point School District and wrote three children's books, put those out, and just started really talking to kids about resilience, right? Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these kids, you know, if you have kids, you understand that they don't know how to get up when they fall.
Yeah.
Because we reaching down, picking them up. It's like sometimes they got to learn how to, like, you fail, you got to figure out how to get up.
Yeah.
Because that's an important part of life, right?
Mm.
And I think about when you talk about, you know, even the road to recovery or addiction, you fall, you got to get up and you got to want to get up,
mm-hmm.
you know? So yeah, man, we put that in the schools and had a great time with it. We went through, I did that for about 4.5 years, just back and forth to Wolf Point and about six other school districts.
Right on. So in that time, were you able to see some progress? And
yeah, man. Yeah. I think the main thing I learned, and I think we forget this as adults, is that kids crave structure.
Mm.
If you can create a structure and create a reward system, good or bad, they crave it.
Mm.
They actually used to look forward to, even if, you know, I used to check kids' progress report, even if they had to suffer a negative consequence, they knew that if they did the right thing, there was something positive coming.
Mm.
So even when I coach basketball, I would tell the kids all the time, we're going to create a structure. I don't know if we're going to win or lose, but we're going to have structure.
Mm.
And a lot of times you end up winning because of that structure and staying to it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I think that structure is huge. And then, like, as far as, like, recovery goes, that's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
You need that structure because, like, I know when I went to treatment, that structure of that environment was exactly what I needed because my life had gotten so unmanageable and out of control
mm-hmm.
that when I went to treatment, I was like, oh, structure, and I just felt comfortable. And there was, like, a not only the structure of the treatment, but just, like, there's a bedtime and there's like, okay, get up, breakfast time was this time. And then you go to groups and then one-on-one and then lunch and then more groups and blah, blah, blah. Like that structure was very comfortable to me. It was very familiar just because of, you know, my attribute, like the way I was raised, but then also like sports.
Yeah.
You know, because like I knew that if I put in the work there when I left, if I was honest and put in the work there when I left, I would have some success. Because of what I learned in sports.
Yeah.
You know, you go to practice Monday through Friday, and do work on game on Saturday, you're pregging them. Pregnant, do have some success.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, that's cool. any kind of like just highlights or just a story that you could share from your experience going up there working with the different school districts?
Yeah, man, I think the biggest highlight is to see, you know, I started a men's, young men's club up there about, well, I started a several young men's club, but one up in Wolf Point in particular. And, man, this last 3 years, we've had 17 young men go to college.
Nice. Come right.
On. Nice. Yeah, 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 man. Nice. So, you know, when you look back at your legacy, man, you go, because some of these kids thought they couldn't get off the reservation. Like, yeah. They literally thought that. Like, man, we can. I'm like, man, you can go to college, man. And just to see some of these kids, you know, some of these young men and young women be able to go to college and start to try to create a life for themselves, that's the stuff that we go for, man. So That, for me, was huge.
Right on. You guys got any feedback or questions for Mr. Henry?
No, I just think that's amazing, man. Like, is there any, like, anything in your personal life, like, as far as, like, daily regimens that you partake and that you share with the people that you share with?
Yeah, man. So I really, you know, and it sounds corny, man, but I think we started by talking about this. Getting up and telling yourself something positive, right? Like, I truly try not to have any bad days. Right. Might have a bad moment in a day, but it's 24 hours. Yeah. Like, I get up and tell myself something positive, right? If it's nothing more than, hey, I'm going to be better than I was yesterday.
Yeah.
Right. Or, hey, man, listen, I'm gonna go help somebody today. I'm going to be kind to somebody today. And I think it just sets my day off right. You know, when I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, man, I go to the gym about 4 or 5 times a week. But I lay in my bed for about 10 minutes and go, first of all, I woke up. Let's start there, right?
Yeah.
Because we're starting to get to that age where some of our friends ain't waking up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you start there, I'm like, okay, man, I woke up. So I'm blessed to be able to do that. And then it's like, okay, what kind of day do I want it to be?
Come on.
Because if you think about it, man, your attitude in the morning trajects through your entire day. Your attitude in the morning.
Yeah.
Right? How you get out of bed. So, I mean, we've all heard the saying, I mean, you must have got out of the wrong side of the bed.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I think
it's
something to that, right? So I try to start that way, and I know it sounds corny, man, but then, again, I reflect back on that around my lunchtime. You know, if I said I was going to be kind today, have I been kind? Do I need to readjust? Do I need to repivot, right?
Mm.
And then if I need to, it's like I try to reset. So, you know, like today, you know, I was telling Josiah, I met my accountant. That's never fun.
Yeah.
Right? But it was an hour and a half of my 23 hours. And I say 23 because one of them hours I'm probably eating lunch. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big boy. I like to eat. Yeah. Right? So I was like, if that's 1.5 hours, and by the way, it wasn't bad, but it was something that I necessarily wanted to do.
Yeah.
But we got through it, and I get to come sit with you gentlemen who are doing positive work. So it's just a part of my day.
That's crazy. You said that because, I mean, just today I was talking to a coworker and seemed to be having a bad day, and I these guys heard me say it before too. I was like, you know, it's never too late to start your day over.
Yeah,
and, you know, and she wasn't convinced, but you know, you plant that seed, and you know, like I like what you said about, you know, starting your morning, like as soon as you wake up, like, okay, this is how it's gonna be. But I also learned, like, the night before, like, to plant those seeds. So, like, man, they're in your subconscious mind. Yeah. So when you wake up, it's almost automatic. Oh yeah, last night, I said, When I wake up, I'm going to have a good day. So that I started making that a habit. And then, you know, going through your day and saying, okay, well, am I sticking to my game plan? Like, to be mindful of your thoughts, because there's, dude, like, my thoughts, if I let them go, like, I just go to the dark place real quick, real easy. And so now, you know, just being mindful of that. Okay, so I said I was going to have a good day. Am I actively participating in that? And so I think that's huge. Is there any other little, like, things that you do throughout your day to kind of, you know, if you find yourself kind of, like, you say you want to have a good day all the time, but, little things that you might be able to tell yourself, like, okay, I'm starting to go towards this negative side.
Yeah, man, you know, and again, just simplicity. I think we think about it sometimes like this, it's this big task. Like, think about how many times you don't think about that you get to eat. Let's do something simple, right? I mean, people in this country are not eating.
Yeah.
Like, right? So even like when I sit down to eat my lunch, you know, I pray over my food, but I pray that I'm thankful that I got a chance to eat. Simple stuff, man. Like, not, there's no rocket science to this, right?
Yeah.
You know, we want to have this instruction book to read and be like, yeah, you should do this, this, and this. It's like, nah, man, like, what makes you tick every day? What makes you go every day, right? I want to be I don't want my daughter to see me going through bad day after bad day after bad day. Mm-hmm. We got some frustrating moments.
Sure.
Oh, we have those, right? We have some bad hours. Mm-hmm. Man, you don't have to have bad days. And that's just my personal belief, man.
I like that. That's good. That's a really good philosophy, actually, when you think about it. You know, you're going to have those bad moments, but... You know, like I said, and Josiah is always saying, you know, you got unlimited timeouts. So, yeah.
No, that's huge because our children are always watching us and they pick up what we do, not what we say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So that's kind of like speaking to me. But you were talking about your love for reading, man. Is there any books that you...
Man, so I just read Tuesdays with Maury. It's an old book by Mitch Albom, right?
Okay.
Check that out, man. It's just one of those books. And I like to read old books. There's a book called The Richest Man in Babylon. It talks about how we are supposed to steward our money, right? Because, again, you know, a lot of us know how to make money. A lot of us don't know how to make our money have babies.
Mm.
Okay.
I'm going to say that again.
Right? Yeah. Come on.
I'm going to say that again. A lot of us know how to make money.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't know how to make our money have babies.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Man, that's pretty...
It's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah. It's like, I heard somebody say, like, you got to talk to your dollar and tell him, hey, I want you to go work for me. Come back and bring three of your friends.
Absolutely. Hey, you know what? I heard the same thing. Like, I'm not spending this money. I'm circulating this money. In other words, circular. It's going to come back tenfold.
Yeah. Mm. And we don't talk. We don't have those conversations enough, man. So I'm always, again, not always. I'm always trying to figure out how to do things better so that I can help the person behind me not have to walk the same path I walked. Make an easier path.
Mm. Yeah, and see, that's the whole reason, like that I'm doing this,
yeah.
Right? Like, okay, I made some mistakes. I did some things, and I had to figure it out. I'm still figuring it out. Yeah. But the person that's listening to this, if you can get something out of that and you don't have to do all that,
yeah.
Man, that's the point.
I think that's our responsibility, right? Yeah. I truly believe for those of us who are leaders in the community like you gentlemen, like we got a responsibility to help them. I always say, like, I never tell grown people what to do, but I will give you my story and hopefully my story helps you, right? Because the moment I tell you to do something, your first action is I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Right? But if I tell you, like, hey, man, I stepped in that pothole right there, and it's got water in it, and I turned my ankle. Now, you can step in it if you want, and maybe you don't turn your ankle, but maybe you break your leg.
Yeah.
But you get to decide that, right? But I'm just going to tell you about my experience.
Yeah.
And hopefully you learn something from it.
Yeah, definitely. No, that's good. I like that. And, yeah, that, to me, that's like, you know, for like recovery-wise, like mindfulness, you know, being aware of what's happening, what you're thinking. Throughout the day, like your body sensations, your emotions, and like what you're thinking, but not really investing in those, you know. But if you find yourself, you know, being, you know, kind of somehow, or you feel like you've gotten up on the wrong side of the bed, then you pause, boom, like JC said, that I say, you know, I got unlimited timeouts. I can just pull back, reset, like, okay, from here until I go to bed, I'm going to respond. I'm going to be kind. I'm not going to be that jerk I was up until this point, you know. Because, yeah. I mean, there's some days I'm cussing like a sailor by noon, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm like, dang, I must be hangry. I better get something to eat. I better chill. Pull back a little bit.
Hangry, yeah. That old dub. Yeah, like the same, like, you know, in the past, and I'm working on it now. But, man, like, you know, you're talking about those bad moments. I would let that just, I would carry it for the rest of the day. Mm. And it was just that moment. When you think about it, it was like, okay, there was this event.
Right.
And then just taking it around and just like, I'm gonna carry this around for the rest of the day. Yeah. And then having that choice to say, you know what, I'm going to put this down.
It takes too much energy, man, if you think about it, right? And again, like you, man, I'm a student, right? So I'm learning every day how to get better at it. But I always say, like, if somebody makes you mad, right, think about it for a second. Do they hold it as long as you hold it? Probably they don't. And if they don't hold as long as you don't, why are you holding it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's ruining more time in your life than it is in theirs. So, yeah, man, just trying to figure out how to move up and onward, man.
So, I know that you work in a diversity, equity, inclusion.
I do.
I do, too. Yeah, so, kind of steer in that direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
because as men of color, there's one thing that I didn't know for a long time, that racism or prejudice or just like these biases, that it's a two-way street. That I can be just as prejudiced, biased, racist as my white counterpart, where I thought it was just one way that I was receiving it, and that me hating them back was justified by the prejudice that I was receiving. So kind of go into, if you could, you know, just share a little bit of wisdom. I know this is your day job and stuff. I don't want you to spill all the beans.
Oh, no, that's good, man. No,
but, just kind of like unconscious bias and that kind of stuff, implicit bias.
So how deep you want to get into this, man? Because I can flip the mic on this one, man. Like, I mean, like I said,
it's what you do for a living. I don't want you to give out no freebies.
Oh, no, I'm going
to
give you. No, I'm here for that.
Okay.
I'm here for that. No, that
is, hey, I know this is your joint, so, yeah, man, you got the floor.
I want to talk about it from the other way, though, man.
Yeah, go for
like,
it.
Especially with black and brown people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, we got to own some of this. And what I mean by this is, like, we got a responsibility at some point, right? I think we all realize, Native Americans, black, we all realize that something happened 200-400 years ago that was bad.
Mm-hmm.
We realize that. At what point do we start becoming solution-oriented?
Mm-hmm.
When do we start taking care of ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
Why are brothers not sitting around a table doing this, trying to figure out how we uplift each other, as opposed to focused on what happened? None of us ever picked cotton.
Mm-hmm.
None of us ever had the land taken from us directly. None of us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our ancestry absolutely had that, right?
Mm-hmm.
How long are we going to sit on it, man, before we start teaching our kids, man, you can be bigger, better, faster, stronger?
Yeah.
We got to do something in our own communities to make that happen. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's – I know that's not a popular talk, right, because people want to – it's easy to talk about the problem.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to focus on how we get out.
Yeah. And I think we've talked about it briefly here on the podcast on several different episodes, talking about that crab pot mentality, the worms in the can. Yeah. As soon as one of us starts getting up, like, then we drag each other down and stuff. And we kind of went through something similar just recently with another Native person that's part of this other organization and stuff. But we called a meeting and just got on the same page. And now we're going to collaborate. Where it started out that it was almost like they were firing shots at us, and we kind of fired back a little bit. And I was like, hold up, let's meet. And then we got to talking, we got to rapping, and the whole meetings ended up like, we're going to collaborate. We're going to work together.
Man, just think about this, man. I think about this. I just had this conversation literally yesterday, man. Just think about if we took care of our own. Mm-hmm. Like, we just really made a conscious effort to take care of our own. Not because we're mad at something or someone.
Mm-hmm.
We just said, man, I want to uplift you as a brother. That's it. That's all I want to do, right? And you did it, and I did it, and I did it. Think about how strong we would be as a black and brown community, right? But I don't think we think of it about, like, in totality. I know you all do. I know the work that you all do. And there's a pocket of individuals that do that. But like you said, man, if you go back to where you were born and you are making one more dollar than the person, are you going to get pulled back into that, well, he think he better than us, or she thinks he better? It's like, no, actually, I'm just working at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, right? Because I don't want the same things you want. Don't dog me because I'm trying to do something different. Mm-hmm. Like, just that mentality, right? I see it all the time, man, and it like, people get offended, like, but they did. Like, absolutely, I'm not denying that something happened.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not denying that at all. But what's going to happen up there in front of us? That's what I want to focus on.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, like, within Native culture, you know, depending on the tribe, they always, like, historically, our ancestors thought about the unborn 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 generations down the road. They made their decisions with them in mind.
Yeah.
And I think in a sense, that's kind of what we need to get back to.
Absolutely, man. I mean, because like I said, you know, most of us have seen at least half of the movie.
Yeah.
So if we've seen half of the movie, like, somebody hasn't, some of our children haven't walked in the theater yet. Mm. I'm trying to create a different movie experience for them.
Yeah.
Right. And that, and it, yeah, will it include some history? Yeah. But if you break down history, that's his story.
Mm-hmm.
How do you create your story?
Yeah. Definitely.
I like that, man. That really changes the perspective. Especially, like, you think about it, like, our communities, man, we're so used to pulling each other down. But what we need is men to, like, really train, right? Especially, like, if the black community is like the Native community, we got more leaders that drain, you know? And I wrote about that on Facebook recently. Like, man, we need to train our people rather than drain them.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's what leaders do. Like, we bust that door open, and then you hold it up. And I feel like that's really how you lift somebody up. Like, enough of the gatekeeping.
Yeah.
You know, like, no more gatekeeping, man. Like, and I was called out, man, like, by one of our students. Funny story, like, he was like, where'd you get your pants? And I was ashamed because I got them at Walmart. Yeah. I didn't say nothing. He's like, oh, man, you gatekeeping, bro. And I started laughing because I caught myself. I'm like, you really want to know? He's like, yeah. I said, I got these at Walmart. Yeah. He's like, all right, cool, man. Pounding me, you know? Yeah. And that's, I think that, like, that really tells about the next generation.
Yeah.
You know, they're tired of it. You know, they want to see the change. They want to be a part of the change. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it starts with men like us sitting around the table having these tough conversations.
Yeah.
So, man, I appreciate your insight.
No, man, I appreciate you all being willing to have the conversation, because I know, like, a lot of people, they get offended by it. And I'm just like, hey, listen, I don't get to tell you how you sit, but I get to figure out what I want to do.
Yes.
Right. And I want to figure out solutions for those babies.
Yeah.
Right. Because I know that we've proven, if you think about it, over the last 200-300 years, that whatever we've been doing is not the solution.
Yeah.
If we're being honest, that's not the solution. So we got to figure out something else. And I think it's like you said, training and sitting around a table with men and then moving, doing something. Stop talking about it. Now let's do something.
I don't mind sitting around. Sorry. But I'm like that. I don't mind sitting around talking about stuff and, you know, making a plan and stuff. But let's go.
Yeah.
You know, let's go. I think that's partly due to, like, some of the elders that when I was growing up, they just sat around and talked about their dreams and goals and then never moved forward on them. And then I was just like, I was kind of as a kid sitting around waiting for them to get going. Because like, I felt like they had great ideas.
Yeah.
And they had great things to talk about. And then they never moved forward on them. And I was just like, so then that kind of put me in a spot like, I'm going to go do stuff.
Yeah.
I figured out what I wanted and then I went after it.
Well, you mentioned something earlier that I thought was really important. You talked about April 4th, the Native American Summit coming up,
yes.
Right? And so I'll give you some backstory on that. I remember when they were introducing it, and I was like, hey, you should probably go to these Native American groups and ask for, you know, input, insight, what have you. And some of those groups were not the quickest to move. I say, hey, just go put it together. Put it together, right? Yeah. And then I reached out to Josiah. I was like, hey, man, this thing is going on. I don't know enough influential natives. Can you help me? He's like, absolutely. I just was in a meeting probably about 7 or 8 days ago, and there was only like 12 people signed up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so in one breath, we're talking about we don't get no help.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's things out here for you to get help, and you don't accept the help. So this is a prime example of how we got to figure out, like, I'm not going to ask you for help if I'm not going to take the help.
Absolutely.
And then I'm not going to blame you because I didn't show up.
Yeah.
So I think we got to encourage people too. Like, hey, if you say it and somebody puts it out there, you got a social responsibility to hold your end of the bargain up as well.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I see that in marginalized communities as well. It's like, yeah, we need this. Okay, here it is. Oh, well, I'm busy that day.
Yeah.
And I'm a firm believer. We make time for what's important to us.
Mm-hmm. No, I just like, when I used to work for a Native American organization here in town, like just being out in the community, I'd hear natives talking about, oh, we're invisible to the white man. We're invisible to each other. We don't even know who's who or living here and stuff. And then so when I was working for the Native community, I said, well, I put on events. And I was like, oh, okay, man, there's this need, this want to come together and like see who's here. So I put on these events, made them free, had food. Showed up, like a handful of families showed up, and it's like, yo, I just heard you saying we're invisible to each other and complaining about it at this meeting over here, and I host this event and y'all don't even show up.
That's crazy. How much of that do you think would you attribute to like the poverty mentality?
I think a lot of it is, man. It's like it, and not only the poverty mentality, the stagnation, the cognitive stagnation, right? Like, like I truly believe that there are some people who just like chaos.
Mm.
They just like it, right? Because it's easier.
It's than, comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Than doing something, right? I always use the example, because it's something that everybody can understand. Everybody knows how to lose weight.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. Eat less, move more. I don't care what diet you're on. I don't care what program. eat less, move more. You lose weight. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to get up and go to the gym every day, though? It's hard.
Oh, yeah.
You got to want to do that. How hard is it to control your diet? It's hard. Yeah. Right? So I would just rather complain about they don't have enough medicine to help me lose weight than to do the things I know to do to lose weight.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to do that. I think it's the same thing in our communities, man, right? Like, it's like, oh, we don't have this and this and this. Okay, here it is. I don't have time for that. It's like, we got to pick one. Pick one.
No, you make a good point, because even as addicts, that's kind of what we do, right? Like, idle hands lead to, you know, like, are the devil's playground.
Yeah.
So we're so used to that chaotic environment that when I know, like, for myself, when I got sober, like, it was almost like, and you say, like, it was boring. Mm-hmm. You know, like, having a life filled with peace. You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, I ain't involved in no drama today, bro. Like, what's going on? And then, you know?
Yeah. Searching for chaos.
Think yeah.
Like, oh, wait. Oh, nothing's going. Oh, I could just sit here in peace?
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like,
yeah. I love that, you know, just being at my house and nobody's home. I just sit there.
Enjoying the bills.
Yeah. Like, don't even turn on the TV. I just sit there for a few minutes. About 10, 15 minutes, just quiet.
So you do it in the house.
Yeah.
I pull up in my garage.
Oh, okay.
Pop the garage and cut the car off and just sit there.
Yeah.
Like, that can be my peace zone, right?
Yeah.
And, like, even before I get in the house to deal with my wife and my daughter, I'm like, I'm just going to sit here for a minute and just, like, just soak this in, right?
Yeah.
Because it's where I find some of that peace, man. But, yeah, it's just, like, we got to search and thrive for that peace and then try to infiltrate it back into our communities.
Mm.
Well, going back to that chaos, it's not that, you know, that the only thing is that we're used to it, but we know it.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, and that fear of the unknown, like, if you actually achieve peace in the moment, it's like, oh, I'm not used to this. I don't know what this is. There should be somebody yelling. There should be some drama. There should be. So I think it's that fear of change almost too. Right, like, okay, man, I've never had, you know, fill in the blank, you know, something positive. I've always had to, you know, hustle, and I've always had to, you know, grind it out, or, you know, having that mentality of there's always something. And then you would, you know, you actually get a peaceful moment, and then it's like, oh, okay, you know, your brain's like, oh, I don't know what this is. This is different. So we should be in some drama. So, you know, we're used to it, but at the same time, it's like, man, I don't know what's on the other side. I mean, yeah. I know what this is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm gonna. I know. I might not like it, but I know what it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Early on in recovery, I was like, kind of hit a spot where I was like, oh, I haven't had any drama in my life, and I was like, oh, it's coming. I know it's coming. It always does, you know. So I was just like, things are just too good. It's too good to be true. And I was like waiting for the drama to come. And I was like, oh, it's going to be any time now, any day now. It's just going to come around the corner. It never came. And then I was like, because I'm not causing it anymore. And I was just like, it was weird.
Yeah. And that whole thing, too, is like there's a lot of people that, myself included in the past, it's like, okay, there's nothing happening. Something's going to happen, something, and then you get to this point where, like, I can't wait for this. I'm going to go make something happen.
Mm.
So it's like that self-sabotage.
Yeah. Just imagine if we flip that, though. Nothing's happening, nothing happens. I'm going to make something happen positive.
Mm. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, how powerful could we be if we just thought that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, back to the peace part. Now, when my kids, whenever they're like, oh, I'm bored, and I'm like, no, you're not bored, that's peace.
Mm.
They get mad at me. My daughter, especially, my 11-year-old, she's like, oh, I'm bored, and I'm not feeling peace.
I used to tell my kids, well, I'm bored. And, well, boredom was a choice.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So moving right along, I want to, like, unconscious bias. Like,
yeah.
I want to talk about that, like how kind of, I think it's, like, really deceiving. Like, we're doing it subconsciously, but then, like, I don't know. Just get into it.
Yeah, man. So I think the first thing you have to start with when you talk about any kind of bias is that we all have them.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Like, that's the first thing, because people are like, I'm not biased.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are. you may can't identify right now, but if we talk long enough, I'll find a bias for you.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So realizing that, and then I think the other part of that is realizing that we're biased because all of us see through a different lens.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you're born in Billings and I'm born in Florida, we just see things different. That doesn't make you right or me wrong or vice versa. So I think that creates the bias. But I think what we start to argue is when you think your bias is greater or less than mine.
Mm.
Right.
Mm.
And so we got to argue about that now. Right. Mm. As opposed to trying to figure out and trying to give you some grace to understand, OK, this is why you see it this way. Let me explain to you why I see it this way. And hopefully we can come to some common ground and continue to move vertical.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Implicit bias is always the most funny to me because that's the things that you don't see that you do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. It's when, you know, implicit bias, people don't understand. I always give this example. It's when you open the elevator and there's a woman on there, any color, and you get on as a big guy and she clutches her purse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't realize she's even doing that. But something in her psychological safety or something has told her to clutch her purse.
Yeah.
Right. So I think once we realize those things are happening, then again, what are we doing to do something different?
Yeah.
You know, I always tell this story. You know, I take my daughter on a lot of adventures, and one of the ones I just took on, we just did this about 5 weeks ago. We made snack bags for to come downtown and just pass out.
Yeah.
No press, no pub. Let's just go feed some people, right?
Yeah.
And so I took her with me because I said, I want you to see kind of what's happening. And so we get out, and man, we ride down off of Broadway, and we pull up on this ramp, and there's probably like 10 people sitting there. And so we, hey, you all hungry? Yeah, we pass out these bags. These two gentlemen run up to me after, I mean, like as I'm walking away with my daughter, and they're like, hey man, you know any way we can get a job?
Mm.
My daughter's bias, she didn't say this out loud, and she probably didn't phrase it as unconscious bias, was they're drunk, they're addicts, they're this. They can't get a job because they don't have a mailing address.
Mm.
They fell on hard times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got put out of their place. Now they don't have a mailing address. What's the first thing you got to put on an application?
Your address.
Your address. Mm. So now they're on the streets trying to figure out how to figure out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So we carry those biases sometimes that everybody on the street is an alcoholic or a drunk or a drug addict. It's like, no, sometimes they just fell into a bad situation and just need a hand up, not a hand out, but yeah, a hand up.
Yeah.
So I think it opened my daughter's eyes about some of her biases that she's had because, you know, and again, biases are not bad. Mm-hmm. They're based in truth a lot of times.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to show, especially I think these young minds, okay, these gentlemen actually want to work.
Yeah.
They're not looking for a hand out. They're looking for a hand up.
Hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I like to, in my presentations, I like to use the example of like, I went to a basketball tournament. I went to your tournament last year at MSU Billings,
mm-hmm,
at a 3-on-3. And like, I went in there 2 days, you know, kids were playing and stuff. And I was in there and I was visiting with people, talking with people all weekend long. And at the end of the tournament, I think my son was playing a championship and like, and everybody had left, and it was just, oh, we had to play again because the other team, like, protested, remember?
Yeah, yeah, I do remember that.
They had to play again. Yeah. The gym was empty and everything, and I was walking back to my car, and I was, like, thinking about all the good conversations and laughs I had all weekend. And then I was like, it hit me. I was like, I only talk to other coaches or, like, other people that manage basketball teams. That's all I talk to. I didn't talk to any other players outside of my players. I didn't talk to any other parents. I didn't talk to any parents. And then I was just like, how many people did I snub this weekend? And it just dawned on me that I had that unconscious bias that I only made time to talk to other coaches, mm-hmm, or other people that manage teams. And so now that it was in my conscience bias, I knew I was doing this. So now when I walk into gyms, whether it's a basketball game, like just a regular high school one or a tournament now, I actively look for people that are not coaches, mm-hmm, you know, that are trying to get my attention or trying to talk to me, and I make time to talk to them.
Yeah.
And I like to use that example.
Yeah. It's like I said, man, we like it or not, we have a calling. I'm talking about the four of us around the table, right? We have a calling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just about how are we going to use our calling to ensure that our children don't experience or live out some of the biases that we've experienced, because we've all experienced them, right? Mm-hmm. But once we know, what do we do with that? You know, I tell my daughter she's my test lab baby, because I test everything on it, right? Like, hey, let's go do this. Like, what are we gonna do? Like, I took her to remember you had the clown dance.
Yeah.
Right. I took, hey, Dad, where you going? I'm going to this clown dance. What is that? I don't know. We're going to find out. Let's go. I have no idea. Let's go.
We gonna find out.
Yeah, we gonna find out together, right?
Should have told her. I don't know, but put this on.
but we went, right. And I mean, you know, I got an invite from Josiah. He's like, hey man, you should come check this out. You probably thought I wasn't coming, but I'm like, I'm on the way. Let's go. Yeah. And my daughter goes there. She's like, yeah, this is different. I'm like, yeah, it is different. But guess what? Well, if somebody ever asks you if you've been to a clown dance, you can go, yeah, I've actually been to one. Let me tell you what it's about. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's those kind of experiences so that we can remove some bias about what it is. Mm. Right? She got the experience and she got to see it through her own lens and not me telling her, not somebody else telling her about it. Mm. So that exposure piece, that access piece that we have, right? The privilege that we have. Uh-oh. The privilege that we have.
Because
not everybody who looks like you have the privilege that you have, gentlemen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We do have privilege. Like, are we accessing that so that these other individuals around us who don't get the privilege?
Mm.
You know, that reminds me of one of my other coworkers. Just the other day, I looked at the flyer for Powell. And she's from Florida. She's an older lady. And I'm like, older white lady. And I'm like, you ever been to the Powell? Are you going to the Powell? And she go, I didn't know I could.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know I could go there. And I was like, really? I was like, she goes, yeah, who can go? And I'm like, anybody can go. You can go check it out. I was like, and so now she's going to go.
Nice.
She's going to go check it out with her husband. And I'm like, yeah. I said, it's free. You can go over there. And I showed her the flyer. I like, here are the times. You know, and you show up about then. I said, try to get there before grand entry, because grand entry, you're going to want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And listen to the music. And I said, they'll probably have vendors and, you know, all that kind of good stuff. But she honestly, like, she looked at me and she goes, I didn't know I could go.
Oh, yeah. I get that today, too. Like, when I post the flyer on, like, an internal kind of social media thing, that's the first thing people ask me. Like, shoot me an email or whatever. It's like, oh, I seen you posted that flyer for the powwow or the round dance or whatever it is. It's like, can I take my family? Is that acceptable? Yeah, go, man.
Come on. The more the merrier.
Yeah.
But think about it. I guarantee you that we've all looked at something and thought to ourselves, can I go?
Mm.
We've all thought that, right? I mean, if you think back over your history, I don't know what it was, whether it was a, you know, a two-step at a line dancing club, or it was a, I don't know, pick your thing. You're like, man, can I go to that? You may not have said it out loud. You may not have had, the intestinal fortitude that this lady had to ask, can I actually go? But you probably thought that in your life, like, wonder if I can go to that. And the second thing you probably thought is, will I be safe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, safety is important.
Yeah. Right?
And I'm talking about psychological safety. Like, because I don't know about you all, but I'm going to take a guess. You walked into a place and everybody, like, looked at you.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Right?
Still do.
Right. So think about somebody who's not Native American, who knows nothing about a powwow, walking in to a powwow. You all looking like, yeah, absolutely, you can come. I'm like, even me, who has been to a powwow, I still walk up and I tip.
Yeah.
Metaphorically tip, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what are you doing? Somebody, what are you doing here? You're not Native American. All the things.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't imagine what this white woman was thinking.
Mm.
You know, and it's funny that you pointed it out, because I think that up until just now, I only took it as you just didn't know she could attend. Mm. But all that other stuff underneath. So now I'm going to have a conversation with her and say, yeah, you'll be all right, you know, and reassure. And I said, once you go, you're going to get addicted.
Yeah. I tell people, if they come to one of my events, like if you come, find me. Like, I want to show you around this event so you feel a different level of comfort. Because if you take the social responsibility to come, I think it's my social responsibility to help you feel more comfortable.
Mm.
Yeah.
Right. That's when you start owning your stuff, right?
It's
like, yeah, I could post a poster all day. Like, everybody's welcome. But when you ask me that, like, hey, man, show up. And you know, and Josiah can attest to this. I'll be walking around with little kids, showing them baskets because they never seen basketball before. Or there's a older grandma who don't know where to go, and she's frightened. She's walked in. I'm like, hey, where are you doing? What you looking for? I'm looking for my grandson on court six. Let me help you.
Yeah.
That just lessens the fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all have it.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Or if we don't have it, we've had it for sure.
Oh, so, yeah.
Just something to think about.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's a good point to make. Not only encouraging them to go, but, you know, to take it to that next level, to be welcoming
when
they show up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's huge. That's good. I like that.
That belonging piece that you talk about all the time, right?
Yeah.
That belonging piece. Do I belong here? Do I fit here? Am I made to feel comfortable? Because I think, again, we assume just because powwow, man, yeah, absolutely. We love everybody.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. Right. If I'm sitting on the other side of the fence, I don't know about that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But you all know that. But it's like, oh yeah, I came and y'all do love everybody.
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah.
So just something else that we should consider.
Yeah, because like around our events or even just like a lot of like a push within like the native kind of scene is like this is for the people. And like, you know, anybody can come. It's kind of like the internal view. But, like, yeah, outside looking in, I could see that. Now that you brought that up, it's like, oh, I'm not too sure about that.
Yeah.
You know, well, maybe it's for your people or something, you know.
Even in your people, right? Let's say, let's use a Native example. Native American group as an example.
Yeah.
Even within your people, there are some tribes that probably don't feel comfortable.
Oh, yeah.
So think about that for a second. If a Native American in a different tribe doesn't feel comfortable, how are you going to ask William, who's black, to come?
Mm-hmm.
And expect him to feel comfortable?
Yeah.
Now you make a good point because that's the reason why I don't know if you guys saw the poster, but there's no person on it. You know, it's actually a circle with all the flags on it because it's an inclusive, right? Like we're visual people and it's like, okay, like we're all sitting here at the table.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. That's good. I like that.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just think we have to, you know, and again, I go back to our responsibility and I'm talking about the four of us in this room.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to think at a different level, right? Especially if we want people, hey, it's for everybody. Okay, well, let's define everybody.
Yeah.
For those who are, and we're not defining it for those who we know are going to show. We're defining it for those individuals who have interest, but also skepticism.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're defining it for. Because you want me there.
Yeah.
Because Josiah going to be there.
Yeah.
But what's the tipping point for me to come?
How can I become a better host?
Yeah, absolutely.
How can I step my hosting game up? Like,
yeah.
And then, like, when you do, like the personal invite, like, it makes you feel like you're a part of that community, right?
Absolutely.
You're like, man, I'm going to come back.
Yes.
You know, this is the best food. These are the vendors. Like, check this out.
Absolutely, man.
Mm.
Man, thank you. I'm gonna be re-listening to this. Yeah, there's a lot of gems in there.
Oh, I definitely need to step up my hosting game.
we all got work to do, man. But at least we're talking about it, right?
Oh, yeah.
At least we're talking about it.
Yeah, no, I got some. Yeah, like Randy said, man, I got some action steps to take now.
For real.
Because I'm always inviting like non-native people to stuff. But then like to take that extra step or even just that extra sentence and be like, yeah, I'll be there. Come find me.
Yeah.
You can sit by me.
Yeah.
You know, and like going that extra, just that little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll come find you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Text me when you get here. I'm coming to the door to get you. Right.
Yeah.
Like, think about how, like, prime example, man, when I pulled up here today.
Yeah.
Right. This is a church, probably one of the safest places in the world.
Yeah.
I felt more comfortable that you were standing on those steps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know where I was going to walk to. I didn't know to look for these two gentlemen. I knew nothing outside of, man, I'm glad Josiah is standing out here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And this is a church, by the way. Just imagine going to a ethnic event.
Oh, man.
You know, I just thought of something, too. The other day, they had that St. Paddy's Day parade. And every parade they have downtown Billings, they stage it right in front of my place.
Oh, yeah.
So I come out of there, and there's all these floats and stuff, and all these people are like, man, I can't even drive out of there. But I remember thinking, as I was driving, you know, get the hell out of, you know, thinking in my mind, like, you know, get the hell out of the way, all you damn St. Paddy's, you know. And then, like, I was like, I felt kind of almost like what we were talking about. Like, I didn't feel like I could walk through the crowd and say, hi, hey, what's up?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because that's not my thing.
Yeah.
It's somebody else's thing. But I remember just thinking, like, man, I I probably can't, you know, just walk down the street and join in.
Yeah. Should have jumped on a float.
Should have jumped on a float. Put on a little.
Put your kilt on and jump on a float.
Yeah, there were some people walking around in kilts.
Yeah, that was cool. I like that.
Yeah.
But I got some coworkers at Billings Clinic that walk around like every day they're wearing kilts. I'm like, man, that's cool.
But yeah, I remember, like, I just now realized, like, it kind of dawned on me that that's kind of how the feeling that I had. Like, like, if I went to try to mingle in the crowd or check stuff out, like, I would have felt out of place.
Yeah.
And that St. Patty's Day event was a multicultural event. What I mean by that is, I'm sure you saw people of other ethnicities.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But when I think about a powwow.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think about nothing but Native Americans.
Yeah.
Just by the, it's like going to a basketball tournament. I think about basketball players, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if I'm not, if I'm a soccer player, I'm like, I feel out of place. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't feel that psychological safety.
Yeah, yeah. And I think of what I attached it to was like the theme of it. Like, you know, you think St. Paddy's, you think Irish, and then you think, you know, starts going down that line.
Yeah, so I think you just lend, I think you lending credence to my point. I think St. Paddy's, I think Irish, I think Native American, I think powwow.
Yeah,
right. Right? Like, yeah. I don't think I could. That's why I asked the question, can I come? Like your coworker, she's asking, can I come? Because it says powwow. And in most of our minds, powwow equals Native American. It doesn't equal inclusive for all.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Man, this is good stuff.
Breaking some barriers today, boys.
Yeah, man.
This changed the perspective.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, man. Definitely. And I know that. keep choking up here. So you got the conference coming up. That's the next big thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Couple weeks. Is there still time to register for all that? Yeah, what do people got to do? And then what's the conference? Like, what's the theme? What's been happening the past couple years?
Yeah, man. So the theme this year, so Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, Leadership and More Conference. And I wanted to make sure we focus on leadership and more and not get so caught up on the diversity, equity, and inclusion. Although it's a big part.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the theme this year is this is about people and not politics.
Mm.
We want to make this stuff political. We want to talk about all the political parts of it. But at the end of all this is a person. So yeah, man, you can still register at williambhenry.com. I'm also throwing this out there just because I'm on your podcast. If you all hear any listeners who can't afford it, I got two or three equity seats. I'm more than willing to put them in there if they want to really attend. So, yeah, man, we want people to come and learn. We got a lineup of amazing presenters.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have great lunch and we'll hear from some great people, man.
Right on. Yeah. It was a good one. I think I presented twice, right?
It's going to be three times after this.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing one of the breakouts. No, it was really good. And I was just kind of, okay, like blown away by how many people were there.
Yeah, man.
You know, in that first, like the morning session and then the keynote speaker, I was just like looking around. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. There's that this much people that care about this work.
Yeah.
You know, so that was inspiring.
Yeah.
That they all came out like that.
I think go back to what we were talking about earlier, right? Let's stop talking and do.
That
conference was a do, right?
Yeah, definitely.
We got to do something if we want to make any level of a positive change, man. Somebody has to be the change instigator. And I think that's what that's the roles that we play.
Yeah,
we are definitely change instigators, man.
Yeah, definitely. And then they can find this on your website. Where can you find it?
Yeah, man. So williambhenry.com. You can find this, man. And then we got an event in May. Welcome to Billings.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everybody's invited. We want people to understand what Billings has to offer. It's free. We're going to have dinner there for people. We want them to come out. It's going to be at Sacred Grounds, coffee shop off of King Avenue West. And then, man, the one I'm super excited about this year is I'm hosting the first annual Men United Conference, man.
Awesome.
So, like, this, like, makes me know that we have to do this for men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So, that's June 6th through 9th, and that's going to be a blast, man.
So, they come to that. I'm coming to that. I got to register. Yeah. I'm going to register here soon.
Absolutely.
You, too, got to register for that one, too.
I'm looking at the site right now.
Yeah.
That's how
Yeah.
Right. As soon as you said your site.
What can we expect when we get there? Like, what's going to happen? What time does it start? What time does it end?
So, what we're talking about,
the men's.
Men United is a three-day look. Right.
Okay.
The first night is just a welcome reception. So let me give you some background. The reason I put this Men United Conference together is because I'm trying to take DEI from education to experience.
Okay. Okay.
Right. So I'm all about trying to create experience for men in this particular case. A lot of men, we pack down our emotions, right? Mm-hmm. We were taught we got to be strong, we got to be tough, and we go through stuff, and we keep packing it down, and it comes out in some form. addiction, gambling, abuse, stress, death. So I want to create a platform where we're talking about men's physical health, men's mental health, financial stewardship. And then I'm going to throw in some things that men don't normally think about doing that I ain't going to tell y'all about, right?
Okay.
Do some things. So that's like the Friday is going to be a day of education.
Okay.
Saturday, man, we're going to do this tour of Montana. We're going to start here in Billings. I got a charter bus already lined up, a couple charter buses. We're going to take it all the way to Yellowstone because we have about 25 people registered now. But 15 of them are for 300 miles or further.
Oh, wow.
So we want to show them our great state. But then Saturday night, we're having this event called Suits and Steaks. And so we're going to have all the men there. But then we're going to invite 25 young men. I think Billy should be there, man.
Okay.
25 young men from the community to come see these 40, 50, 60 successful men in their own lane. And success, to me, is... Hey man, you made it the head janitor, you're successful.
Yeah.
You're the president of the college, you're successful. So that they can see that there's a wide, wide way to be successful. And it don't have to be sports or entertainment or YouTube. There's men in your community and communities afar that's out here getting it. And I want these young men to see that. So yeah, man, it's gonna be a powerful event, man.
I'm excited. That sounds really awesome.
June 6th through the 9th.
But most of it 7th, 8th. Okay. So yeah. But man, if y'all could join me for that, man. Like I said, I want to make this thing where people like, oh, we got to do this next year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
It's exciting. Yeah, it's exciting, man. Very exciting. Yeah. I'm like, man, it should start this weekend.
Now we're definitely Unspoken Words. We're gonna be there.
Okay.
We got two partners that are kind of in the background helping us do stuff, so we'll get them there too.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I would say you're definitely officially off the hot seat.
Okay.
And I wanted to open it up to you. Like, you got questions for us. I know you've been tuning in here and there.
Yeah, man.
And you're a fellow podcaster too, so.
I've done a little bit of this, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hey, so what's, I'll ask any of you all this, and anybody can answer. So what's your why, man? Why do you do this, man?
You know, I gave you a little bit of it earlier. It's always been to help people. Just because of all the BS that I've been through, I put myself through that. Like, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm a victim. Right? Like, I made choices. And they weren't based on the best information. And they weren't based on what I would call truth. Yeah. But having learned that and come out the other side and had that, you know, that clarity and realizing, man, that was my choice. Like, I had choices. I didn't even think I had choices. And to be able to use my story, like you said, I can tell you my experience. I can't tell you to, you know, go walk down the street and hit a meeting or whatever, but I can tell you my experience. And if that helps somebody avoid the things that I had to go through and the things that I put my family and my loved ones, my community, my people through, because I was a part of that. Or the other side of that is like, okay, so you experienced some bad decisions in your life. The ability to make them realize that you can come back from that. That's not you. You are not your mistakes. And so that whole thing about helping other people by sharing my experience, like how I did it from the inside out. And for me, that's always been the idea to pass on to other people is like, if you want to change the world, you start from the inside out. And then that's how I did it. But, you know, to just try to make, like Josiah said, try to make this a better place for my grandson. My kids, unfortunately, they had a front row seat to my self-destruction. But my grandson, he's never seen me drunk. He's never seen me high. He's never seen any of that. And so, to me, that I'll take any victory I can. And to help other people, that's my why. That's a part of it.
Love it.
And the other part of it, that is because it helps me.
Love it. Love it.
I would say, so it boils down to, like, I know what giving up looks like, so I want to see what not giving up looks like, and so I haven't given up this far.
And, you know, I heard that from early on in recovery from another Native brother. He was giving his testimony. He was telling his story, and he said that, and I was like, whoa, man, that's it. That's my why. That's why I do this. And also part of that is like, you know, when I was sick as a dog in detox, this individual came and sat at the foot of my bed that worked at the facility I was detoxing at, and he told me his story. And he was sharing his experience, strength, and hope. And it was a very simple thing to do. Like, I didn't ask him to do it. He just came and did it. And it was like 2-3 in the morning, and I was cold sweats, you know, and like this anxiety through the roof. And he just sat there and told me a story. And I was like, and at the end of it, I was sitting there, and I thanked him, and I just laying there, and I was like, I want to do what he's doing. Like, he came and helped me. And I was like, man, I want to do that. Like, I want to help people, you know. And through that story, it was just like a little glimmer of hope. And I held on to it. And others told their stories. Others were helping me. And I was like, man, I want to do what these guys are doing, you know. And that's been my not giving up and just wanting to help. That's been my mission.
Love it, man. Love it.
Ditto.
Exactly.
What these guys said.
No, but like, and mine's very similar, man. It's like, I know what it's like to not have hope. I know what it's like to, you know, basically lose everything that we thought we would have forever, right? But then I also got, you know, I got a little daughter watching me. Mm. And it's like, man, like to take that, you know, to take the pain that we've been through and use the, turn it into a positive.
Yeah.
You know, and also, like, it's a way to spread a message of hope that no matter where you're at, there's always a way out, but you got to put the work in.
Man, that work is important, man. I got one more question for y'all. One more question.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm going to let y'all off the hook. All right. You got the magic wand. You can fix one thing. And I'm talking about one realistic thing. Like, what do you fix, man?
I think you talked about it. Oh, okay. Go ahead. Okay. No, I say you talked about it though, but and I wanted to ask you, like, man, I want to ask this guy, like, how long did it take you to discipline yourself to talk to yourself in a positive way?
Man, I do it every day. It didn't stop. So like, I like when you say, how long did it take? I'm still doing it. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're like, I don't know if you ever get to the end game on that.
Yeah.
Right? Cause even when I'm not motivated, then will takes over. Like, I have to will myself to do that, right?
Yeah.
Because, man, like, let's be real. We all go through funks, right?
Yeah.
So for sure. Go through those funks, right, man? And it's like, man, what am I in a funk about? Like, you know, like, I ask myself, like, okay, so what can I do to will myself through this funk?
Mm.
So, man, every day, I don't know if I found the formula to be like, I'm there yet.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever want to, I always want to stumble forward because I don't want to fall back.
No, that makes sense.
So that's my story, man. I'm a student of this. I'm still learning every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my thing, man.
I like that. Stumble forward rather than fall back.
Absolutely, man.
I was gonna say define realistic.
and is your realistic?
Okay. Is your realistic? So if I had that magic wand, I would change the way we think about things. You know, because we have these subconscious things that are just so stuck in our heads, right? And a lot of it comes from our childhood. A lot of it comes from our environment. A lot of it comes from, you know, certain things that we experience in our life, trauma. But for me, like, you know, what I've learned is that, you know, our thoughts create our emotions dictate our actions, and our actions dictate our consequences. And those consequences is how we form our beliefs. And those beliefs drive our thoughts. And thus begins that cycle. So if you could change that, any one of those things. But really, like, how we think. Like, if you see somebody who's struggling, okay, how can I help this person change the way they think about it? Like, your perspective, like, what am I focused on? Am I focused on the negative? Am I focused on the positive? Just that kind of thing. Because, like, going back to what I said earlier about, I had a point, but you know, like, changing the way you think, and then, everything else after that happens.
like those like implicit bias for one thing, or thinking and not even realizing it, like I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy for success. That because that's in there somewhere. It, I mean, it wasn't me, and I'm still constantly, you know, like you said, I'm working on it. I got to work on it. It's got to be every day. And eventually, at some point, my brain's going to be like, well, you know what? This is too much work. I'm just going to put the program in there, and now you can just do it automatically. So to help people change the way they think.
Okay. Yeah, I think mine is kind of along the same lines as these guys. Because we're always talking on a podcast about in order for, like, our people to move forward, and now I'm just, like, thinking about, like, just people in general to move forward in a good way, like, we need to focus on healing, you know, because like our people on the res, there needs to be a great healing to take place so that we can work together, get out of that crab pot mentality. And even just amongst us here, like just in the city, just like people in general, I think that that great healing needs to take place so that even like amongst all people, so that those that have the money will look back and be like, oh, we need to help these guys out. Not with a hand out, but with a hand up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm running this huge organization. I got a bunch of low entry level jobs. I could help get these ones that want help off the streets, give them a job, give them purpose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, he triggered the point I was going to make earlier, too, with that crab pot mentality.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, okay, so we were talking earlier about oh, you think you're better than us just because you make a dollar more or whatever. But really, when you think about it, it's not that I think I'm better than you. You think you're less than.
Mm.
That's the real, you know, you didn't say that you were less than, and I never said I was better than you, but somehow that came up. Like, I never brought it up. But, you know, that those yeah. kind of things, like where does that come from? You got to dig deep and dig that out and, you know, change all that.
Mm.
Yeah,
from the root to the fruit, baby.
Yeah, yeah,
love it, love it, love
come
it.
Come on, come on.
What's your why?
I'll give it to you in a quote. How about
okay,
that?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Some people see the glass half full. Some people see the glass half empty. I say, if you're thirsty, drink the damn water. It'll quench your thirst.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Talk about yeah.
Let's do something. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we all experience that, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
we probably have full guys. We know a whole lot of people that have empty guys.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're thirsty, just drink.
Yeah.
Because then you can move on.
Come on.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so that's my why, man. It's like to get people to drink. Stop. And I don't mean drink like alcohol. Let me be clear. Right? Yeah. Drink the water.
Drink the Kool-Aid.
Right? Drink the water. Drink the Kool-Aid.
Drink the Kool-Aid.
But stop talking about the glass is not full.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a guy like me, I still got water in the bottle and my thirst is quenched.
Mm.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nah, that, like, yeah, that's powerful because it brings me to, there's something hanging in my on my corkboard, and it says, it's a Jay-Z quote, it says, remind yourself, nobody yeah. built like you, you design yourself.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Man, I appreciate you.
Man, I appreciate you all for having me, man.
Yeah, definitely.
It's been a fun ride, man.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on. I appreciate the work that you do because before you, it wasn't being done. You know, and then now, you help open the door for me to step into it, too. So it's all good.
We got to do.
It's all love.
We got to do, man. We got to do. We can't yeah. talk about it. We got to do, man.
Yes, sir.
Y'all keep it up, man. 3 years is a long time to do this, man. Good luck. Congratulations,
yeah.
man.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna rock it. We're going to keep going till the wheels fall off.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, definitely. So any closing words, favorite Indian pod gaddy?
All I say is you got to come back. You got to come back. You won't be on the hot seat. We'll have a subject, a topic, whatever you want to talk about. But you got to come back.
Hey, man. That's a high compliment, man. I appreciate that, man. I truly do. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely need you back as a co-host.
I'm in, man.
All right. Man, let's do this. Let's do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. With that, we'll close out to all our listeners out there underneath the firmament. We love you. We appreciate you. And to our unspoken words disciples, keep spreading unspoken words gospel, Billy Graham style. Hey. Uh-oh.
Be kind to yourself.
Chinook. Yeah.
got these unspoken words I'm trying to get out my head. Plug in the mic and leave nothing unsaid. Now sit back, relax, and listen to some real talk.